Welcome into the Pump Fake, everybody. The week of Thanksgiving, the last show before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening. Jared Bailey joined by my good friend from SB Nation, JP Acosta. How are you, buddy? It's good to see you.
I'm doing great. I'm starting my pre-Thanksgiving tradition of fasting for a few days to make sure.
Oh, you do that?
Not really. I try and make sure the tank is empty.
Right.
Or Thanksgiving, so then we just fill up and just completely cancel out any goodwill I have from dieting or exercising for the next few days.
No, that's a good plan. And you and I had like a small debate last year on mac and cheese being a Thanksgiving food or not, to which I said no and you said yes. Who's making the mac and cheese this year? Is that like a duty that falls on you?
I'm not really sure. I'm not making mac and cheese because I have to travel.
Okay. So, how far are you traveling?
It'll be like hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay, not bad at all. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. I'll probably leave that morning, but I think it's gonna come to my aunt who normally does it. So she's probably gonna make the mac and cheese and it'll be amazing as always.
I'm hosting Thanksgiving this year for the first time, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I went out and got everything. Everything's all set. There's a 15 pound turkey in my freezer or in my fridge thawing out as we speak, so we're good to go, and I'm very much looking forward to it. We're gonna recap the biggest games from Sunday, and then JP and I are gonna close the show out, deciding who in the NFL sphere we would invite to our respective Thanksgiving. So that's gonna be fun. We'll start though. You and I had a little bit of a spirited debate last night on Twitter about the MVP race and whatnot. Saquon Barkley just ran for 255 yards, which is an Eagles franchise record, came just 31 yards short of Adrian Peterson's all-time single game record. And he has played phenomenal all season long. He's already topped his career high in rushing yards in a season, and he's still got half a dozen games to go. He is playing phenomenal. And you said that now, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is he the MVP in your mind right now?
So I don't think I would vote for him for MVP to win MVP. Mm-hmm. I think Lamar will probably get that vote. But Saquon Barkley is absolutely either second or third in my mind. What he has done to the Eagles and what he has made the Eagles offense has been incredible this season. So I don't have the exact stats in front of me because Sports Information Solutions is a little down right now. But when Saquon Barkley's on the field, the Eagles have a 0.1 EPA per play, which puts them quite basically with the Cincinnati Bengals. Top five offensive unit in football is Saquon on the field. Saquon off the field, they go to negative 0.04, which is basically the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that is the cliff that they fall off of when Saquon is on versus when Saquon is off the field. Not only that, but Saquon has done kind of what CMC has done to the 49ers offense, which is not only is he a home run threat every time he touches the ball, but he is a valid and dangerous check down option. So Jalen Hurts can dump the ball to Saquon Barkley, and that 4 yard gain last year with DeAndre Swift is turning into a 10 yard gain with Saquon Barkley. I think just in terms of value and how important he is to that offense and where the Eagles would be without Saquon Barkley, because the Eagles offense outside of Saquon has not performed well.
Sure.
This has been another up and down year for Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith didn't even play on Sunday. They've been in and out of the lineup. Dallas Goedert's been hurt. Offensive line has played well in some areas, but Saquon means so much to this offense and getting them to this point where they can kind of fart around for 50 minutes and then Saquon lightning bolt and they're going to pull away from you.
Yeah. I think now that there's like the system where it's like a top five in terms of like the MVP voting and whatnot, I think he'll definitely get votes, mostly because I don't think there's five quarterbacks right now that would deserve it. I think there's two, and I think it's Josh Allen and Lamar. I would go towards Allen just because of, you know, things that we've talked about before, you know, in terms of this is supposed to be a down year for Buffalo, and now instead they're off to their best start through 11 games in 30 years for the franchise. And Allen's played really well. So I would probably still give my vote to him. But if we're just talking about MVP votes, I do think he'll get some just because of the way the ballots work now in terms of it being like a top five type of thing. So if that's the case, then yes, I do believe he'll get MVP votes. I do think that regardless, though, he's a shoo-in to win Offensive Player of the Year unless Derrick Henry, you know, watches what he did last night and said, hold my beer, I'll do the same. But we'll see how that goes against the Chargers. Let's go to maybe the most chaotic game of the day. Washington and Dallas, man. Just when you think that the Washington Commanders have a proverbial rabbit's foot up their ass with a Terry McLaurin touchdown with, what was it, 20 seconds left? Austin Seibert misses the extra point, and Dallas takes the ensuing onside kick back for a touchdown. Game over. Washington now has lost their last three games, and when you look at the NFC, like 10 wins doesn't necessarily guarantee you a spot. 9 wins sure as hell doesn't guarantee you a spot in the NFC playoffs right now. Washington's kind of falling. You know, they were 7-2 a month ago, and now we're looking at them saying, "Oh man, like this could be a team that is on the outside looking in." Come January, what's up with the Commanders in your mind, and are they going to be a team that's playing in January?
We have hit November. That is what happened to the Commanders. We do this every year with Cliff Kingsbury. We have done this every year with Cliff Kingsbury. The offenses look great in the first 4 months of the season, or even the first 3 months of the season, and then we hit November when you have to start adjusting and making changes and trying to get your signature concepts dressed up in different ways. Air raid coaches don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, like this, we joked about it a lot with DeAndre Hopkins only lining up on the left side of the field. That's a real thing that the air raid does. Like, this is not new. So I looked it up per Ben Baldwin's site on The Athletic. Before we hit November, which would be week 9 of the schedule, the Washington Commanders were first in the NFL in EPA per play. They were a buzzsaw by all categories that you want to put them. EPA, success rate, they looked incredible in every part of the game. Since week 9, meaning since we hit November, they are 17th in EPA per play. Which, I mean, they're still at, like, that 17th is 0.018, which is still fine.
Yeah.
Going first to 17th is cataclysmic. Like, this is like falling literally off a cliff, pun intended. I think the biggest thing that has happened to the Commanders' offense is, one, Jaden Daniels is not healthy. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is still fully recovered from that rib injury. He looks more skittish against pressure. I think just the compression of the pocket has not helped at all. But they're also not getting much from the other receivers. And when you're not dressing things up to help the receivers get open, you're kind of screwed, you know, you're SOL. So it's partially Cliff being Cliff Kingsbury and not
right.
Being able to adjust when we hit November. But I also think this is kind of what we thought the Commanders' offense was going to be this season. The offensive line has kind of taken a step back. It's just been a really, really interesting past few weeks for the Commanders. And Cliff Kingsbury, man, you are under surveillance.
And another thing that was pretty evident against Dallas was that they weren't pushing the ball downfield, and it was a lot of just check down, short passing game, and it wasn't really going anywhere. I think if you take away the long Terry McLaurin touchdown, I think that Jaden Daniels was only averaging a little bit over 5 yards an attempt. So when you look at this offense, I think that there's also a glaring need at the receiver position opposite of Terry McLaurin. For as much as the scheming is a problem, like, I don't think that a lot of teams are going to be like, all right, I don't think we're going to, you know, be staring at our ceiling and worrying about how we're going to stop Dyami Brown. I don't think they're going to be worried about stopping Zaccheaus or Luke McCaffrey in terms of can they, you know, really just take the top off a defense. So I think that's something that they're definitely going to have to address in the offseason. They have the money to do it if they wanted to pursue someone like a T. Higgins to complement the offense, but that's a conversation for another time. They have the Titans and Saints on deck. But when you, like I said, when you look at the rest of the NFC, where Atlanta and Tampa Bay are going to be duking it out for the South, and whoever doesn't get in might not get in at all. The NFC West has four teams currently sitting at five wins or more, and there's a good chance that there's a couple of them that are on the outside looking in with 9-10 wins perhaps. If you had to guess right now, are the Commanders a playoff team?
I think so. I think they're a playoff team largely because of the hot start they got off to.
Yeah.
You know, when you're able to play the Giants twice to start the season, they have the win over Arizona, you play Cleveland, you get Carolina and Chicago. You know, they started off the season with a lot of easier opponents, but you end the season with – you end it with, of course, you said Tennessee, New Orleans, but you end with Philadelphia, Atlanta, Dallas to end the season. Like, and I don't know what Dallas is going to look like in the last game of the year, but they are absolutely looking to play spoiler. I think they'll make the playoffs just because of that hot start, but you need some momentum going into the playoffs, because right now it is ugly.
Yeah, especially like if they do get in and they're, say, you know, the seventh seed, okay, you're going to be probably playing either the Lions or the Eagles, so it's not as if that's going to be an instant you don't want to be the seventh seed, I guess, is what I'm saying, if you're in the NFC, because you're going to be running into a buzzsaw one way or the other. Speaking of the Titans, they beat the Texans yesterday, and I wrote about it after the game, and I said, you know what? I'm good on the Texans. I'm good. When you have had the stretch that they've had, they've lost three of four, two of those being to the Jets and Titans, and the other of which they blew a 16-point halftime lead and couldn't win a game that Jared Goff threw five interceptions. So I'm good on the Texans. They're going to be a playoff team. They're going to win the AFC South. But I think that this is a team that is incredibly susceptible on both sides of the ball at this point. I think that the loss of Stephon Diggs hurt the offense more than it was originally expecting, because they brought Stephon Diggs into the offense to fill that, not be the, you know, the one, hell, not even necessarily be like, you know, the two. He could be 2B and just be the guy underneath who gets, you know, those big gains on a third and medium or a second and medium. They haven't really had that too much. CJ Stroud struggling. He's only got 12 touchdowns to seven picks. He's got five interceptions in his last three games. So I'm just, they're going to be a playoff team, but in terms of a Super Bowl team, I'm good on the Texans.
I don't even think that losing Stephon Diggs is that big of a problem for them, or in how they've kind of fallen off, because this is what the Texans have been this season. You know, I think if the division weren't as inept as it was, we would seriously be talking about the Texans possibly being a 2023 Jaguars.
I think I saw you say that like a few weeks ago. And I was like, I don't know if that's going to happen, but no, yeah, I think
any of the Jaguars from last, just without any of the teams that can get hot. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the Colts, but they're the only team that's actually like worth a shot, like throwing it in the dark. But the biggest issue with the Texans is, so on the offensive side of the ball, they're the exact same team as last year. They look to CJ Stroud to bail them out of so many third and longs. I think they're in third and longs at the highest rate in the NFL this season. They cannot run the ball. They still can't run the ball. Like, this is not a...
And by the way, yesterday they tried doing it a lot more. Like, it felt like Bobby Slowick was really forcing the issue yesterday when it just wasn't working. And now we're starting to hear those noises like, bro, just give – it's time to give the play-calling duties to Jerod Johnson. Are you there yet?
It's tough to say, largely just because this is his second year as a play caller, and we don't know what Jerod Johnson looked like as a play caller, if he would change things up. But it just feels like he is – Bobby Slowick is so withholden to – the Shanahan wide zone offense that you run with Jimmy G at quarterback.
Right.
Realizing that you don't have Jimmy G at quarterback, you know, like this is not a guy that you can just like CJ Stroud obviously can bail them out of a lot of situations, but you don't want to have him constantly playing in third and eight, especially, which compounds it to the next problem. That offensive line is not good.
Oh, it's bad. It's very bad.
Still not good. I think they've moved guys around. Juice Scruggs is now, I believe, playing guard, and Jared Patton moved center. It's still not great. I think Laremy Tunsil has had way too many flags this year. He's a great left tackle, but he has been flagged a lot this season. Mm-hmm. They are always – there was a play against the Titans where I think they were started off in like third and one, and then there's two straight false starts. So you go from third and one to third and six, then third and six to third and 11, and then you have to get off the field because you get an incompletion. You got a point. Mm-hmm. That is what the Texans are offensively. They look to C.J. Stroud to bail them out, and I don't think C.J. Stroud can do that as well as he did this year because things are just constricting a little bit more. This is what happens, you know? We quarterbacks don't always, like, they start off hot and then completely, like, shooting to the top five, you know? Like, mm-hmm. these things are going to happen. Defensively, they're still really young. They're a really young unit, especially in the secondary. And that leaves them susceptible to a lot of big plays deep. You know, they play Kalen Bullock a lot, who has made some really nice plays. But, you know, like he's susceptible to some big plays downfield. I think the safety play has been up and down. Jimmy Ward has some nice splash plays.
Yeah, he had a pick six yesterday. Pick
six where Will Levis just – he does what Will Levis does. but this team is so susceptible to – plays over the middle of the field, over the deep middle of the field. Right now, I believe they are, per FTN Fantasy, they are one of the worst teams at defending deep passes over the middle of the field. And you could see it against the Titans. They play so much quarters, and they play so aggressively in that quarters because it is. Well,
that's a D'Amico Ryan's defense is going to be quarters heavy.
And I think against quarters coverage, Will Levis had like two touchdowns. Because they knew exactly what they were going to get. The dig and go to Westbrook Akine, where it looks like what the Geno to DK touchdown was against the Dolphins, but this was a called play and not an adjustment. They knew what they were getting in quarters, and they knew they were going to try and bite hard on the dig, and he just runs right past them. That's what the Texans are. They give up a lot of big plays in the secondary, but they make that up by being incredibly awesome up front. And they had eight sacks in this game. It is so rare to have.
How do you lose a game with eight sacks?
They had eight sacks on Sunday. I don't think people understand how truly baffling it is for that game to go the way that it did and for the Texans to lose that game. Because it is so hard to lose a game like that. To put it in perspective, Will Levis, despite having those two big touchdowns of Westbrook Akine and Chigakonkwo, he still had a negative 0.08 EPA.
That's incredible.
Like, he didn't play insane. You know, this was not a Will Levis surprise game.
Did you see that clip? It was a Titans fan of some sort. I legitimately couldn't tell if it was, like, trolling or whatever, but it was a Levis play. I think it was off play action. He throws, like, a one-on-one ball down the middle of the field to whomever. It was, like, a 45-yard pass, and he's like, how many quarterbacks in the NFL can make this throw? And I was just like, A good number of them.
All of them should. But the thing with Will Levis is you play the chaos ball.
Yeah.
You play roulette with Will Levis. And sometimes he'll do what he does. He'll throw the big touchdown to Westbrook Akine. He actually had some nice throws downfield to Calvin Ridley. But he'll also take eight sacks, which again, like, it's so rare to lose those kind of games. But that's where the Texans are this season. And like you said, they're probably going to make the playoffs at this point. I don't know if any team in the AFC South is going to be able to catch them, especially because they have both wins over the Colts.
Yeah.
But they still have Miami, Kansas City, and Baltimore on the schedule. They're looking at a team that could possibly finish like 9-8 and limp their way into the playoffs as the four seed. I don't know, man. This is the most frustrating team in the NFL.
Oh, that's a statement in and of itself. Yeah, I think that watching them, especially over the last month, like, okay, you lose to the Jets. All right, it's Thursday night. You're on the road. You didn't have Nico Collins. Sure, like, shit happens. Blowing the big lead against Detroit with all those turnovers, it's no excuse for it. And then in this game, man, like, you talked about how do you lose a game with eight sacks. Well, C.J. Stroud also threw a couple picks himself. Kyme Fairbairn missed the 28-yard field goal that would have, obviously made life a lot easier for them. So it's a lot of self-inflicted wounds as much as it is, the other teams taking advantage of it. And yeah, for a team like that, like, even if they do win the division and go into the playoffs as a four seed, you're going to be running into, a Baltimore or a Pittsburgh or a Chargers team that can beat you. So there's a lot of concern with Houston right now. There's a lot of concern with the San Francisco 49ers as well. Brandon Allen played yesterday, and that's all I'm going to say about that game, I think, in terms of the 49ers and what they did. Defensively, there's a lot of lapses. Jordan Love had a really nice game. Josh Jacobs had a really nice game in the run game. They just can't, you know, getting Christian McCaffrey back doesn't make up for, you know, we've seen this situation with Christian McCaffrey before in Carolina, where he's asked to be the guy. But even so, he didn't touch the ball a whole lot in the first three quarters. Jordan Mason didn't touch the ball a whole lot throughout the game. So the entire game plan from Kyle Shanahan felt weird from the get-go, where, all right, you got Christian McCaffrey back, but I think he only had like seven touches at one point, and we're like midway through the third quarter. Didn't make a lot of sense. I think that this was, I don't know, are we seeing the end of like this 49ers run? It certainly feels like we might be.
I don't want to doom and gloom the 49ers yet, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm dooming and glooming this team yet, because they're still technically in the division race.
Yeah, they're only a game back,
which is hilarious, but they also have lost to the Cardinals, Seahawks, and Rams already, you know. But they did split with the Seahawks, but they lost the recent game, mm-hmm. and the Seahawks are playing well defensively. They also still have to go to Buffalo. They have to go to Miami. They have a home. They're going to they have a home game against LA. They have a home game against Detroit, and then Week 18 is at Arizona, mixed in with a Chicago team that's playing with some fire right now. I don't know, man. I feel like this kind of might be the end, mm-hmm. but it's largely just because they've had an incredible stretch of injury luck.
Yep.
In this run that they've been on, and it feels like this is where it's like,
this is just where that check came due.
It's time to pay the bill for that. Offensively, at least. And you can tell, like, they miss Brandon Ayuk, and they miss his ability to beat man coverage. Mm. Deebo Samuel, he has taken a step back, but he also was never a guy who's going to beat man coverage. George Kittle's been in and out of the lineup. Christian McCaffrey still isn't the guy that he is. They also haven't been very good on the offensive line. Trent Williams is great, but Trent Williams didn't play, and he's been in and out of the lineup. Cuny mm-hmm. is fun. Good rookie right guard. Outside of that, it is not good up front, and that showed in their game against Green Bay. They couldn't run the ball, you know, and that's the best thing you can do to help a backup quarterback, especially a backup quarterback who has a broken freaking finger. Two weeks ago, Brandon Allen broke his finger. What am I supposed to do with this?
And why are you playing Brandon Allen with a broken finger over Josh Dobbs, who at least, like we saw last year, has started games more recently and has had some level of success? That didn't make a lot of sense to me either.
I'm so curious by that process. Another big thing with the 49ers, that defense is I'm trying to find the nicest way to say this. They have fallen from elite to just okay, mm-hmm. and I don't think they have recovered or adjusted well from that. It's just the brain drain, you know? You lose Robert Saleh. You lose D'Amico Ryans. Steve Wilks gets fired after a year. You lose a complimentary pass rusher opposite Nick Bosa. You don't have anybody to rush the passer. Evan Anderson is fun, but he's not going to save your run defense. No, right,
Leonard Floyd's fine.
Anyway, they can't stop the run. They've always, since losing DJ Jones, they have not been good against the run. They've just had Fred Warner to clean it all up. But Fred Warner can't do it by himself, especially as to cover for Devondre Campbell and D. Winters next to him. Malik Mustafa is fun. Great tackler. One of the best tacklers in the league. But I don't think he's ready for a full-time role yet. So you're just seeing the effects of going on this run for the last 5 or 6 years finally starting to take effect. So I don't want to doom and gloom this team just yet, but we are starting to feel like the swan song is being played.
Yeah. And you know, our mutual friend Evan Swords tweeted something yesterday where it was like, it just feels like Kyle's exhausted. Like, to come so close multiple times over the last handful of years, to lose two Super Bowls in the fashion in which they did, I think that has a lot to do with it as well. It's just the attrition and the weight of getting so close multiple times and not getting there. And now I think you have to add that into everything going on right now as well.
Yeah, it just winning a lot of games constantly is hard in the NFL.
Yeah.
And winning them the way that the Niners do, always getting to the brink but never getting over the hump, that's exhausting. And at some point, the wheels just fall off. And it feels like the wheels are falling off. And going forward, you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. Debo Samuel's getting paid a lot of money. He might end up being a cap casualty.
I feel like this is kind of his personal swan song with the team just because of how much money he's scheduled to make. There was trade rumors this past offseason about him getting dealt. And the fact that they paid Brandon Ayuk, I think that he's going to be one of those guys, especially nothing against Debo Samuel. But like you said, he was never the guy to be, you know, a definitive number one receiver who can do all the things that an X receiver needs to do. You know, he's kind of the number two gadget guy who can do a lot of different things. And that's great. But I heard Mark Sessler say it on the Heed the Call podcast. The combined, what's Debo Samuel making this year? Like $20 million or something like that?
Let me see.
I want to say it's north of 20. I think it's 22.
I think this season he is making... Oh, damn. I think it's in that area.
Yeah, so he's making $22 million. The combined salary of the Packers is making $8 million. So when you put it into perspective like that, then yeah, like obviously, and all those guys are young and mostly on rookie deals, so that kind of cancels it out. But regardless, you know, when you put it into that perspective, I do think that he'll be playing somewhere else next year. And yeah, this is just kind of the somewhat of the beginning of the end of everything for the 49ers. And look, maybe there's a 2.0 version in which, you know, they come back next year healthier and make another run in the playoffs, which is certainly possible. But for the 2024 season, it feels like this thing is kind of fallen off. All right. I think that's kind of the biggest games from yesterday. I don't know. Did I miss anything in terms of big stuff? The Vikings had a fun game with the Bears in which the Bears almost came back and with under a minute left. That was kind of fun. I think Caleb played incredible yesterday. What do you think about Caleb?
He finally did the USC Caleb stuff, which is kind of what we were expecting this season. And it truly feels like whatever Shane Waldron was telling him in terms of hang in the pocket, be the pocket QB guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to do that.
Right.
You know, you've shown that you can. You don't have to prove that to anybody. Just go and play football, you know, and we've seen him take more of an onus on himself scrambling. We've seen more of the chaos stuff downfield. He took a really bad sack in overtime.
Oh, that was horrible
sack in overtime. But again, that is the game you play with Caleb Williams playing like this. I mean, there were some throws he absolutely just hammered a backside dig to Keenan Allen. He was nailing the middle of the field. There was a sail route he threw where it like just reached past the hands of Andrew Van Ginkel. It was a really good game from Caleb Williams.
The one when he's running to the sideline, body facing, just torques it and gets it downfield. I can't remember who it was.
DeAndre Swift.
Okay,
I think that was the pure like chaos machine.
Yeah.
Like I like that you can do that. Let's not do that a lot. Like let's chill out on that. The thing I will say about the Bears, why is Keenan Allen getting 15 targets and DJ Moore has 7?
That's a lot. That's a lot, yeah.
Roma Dunze got 10 targets, which is great. Feeds my agenda. Feed Roma Dunze. He is really, really good. Keenan Allen had 15 targets. Cole Kmet had 10 targets. DJ Moore had 7.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's not winning football. Keenan Allen, you are playing Keenan Allen like he is a wide receiver 1. Like you are doing the design screen stuff and design play for Keenan Allen, which is not what Keenan Allen was supposed to be this season. So, again, I just feel like they have – it's weird to say because you always want to have good players, but it feels like they have too many cooks.
Like you have
too many, like, ooh, I'm going to use Keenan Allen this way, and I'm going to use DJ Moore this way, and I'm going to use Roma Dunze this way. You don't need to have Keenan Allen doing what he's doing right now.
Right.
It's not that great right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But regardless, yeah, the Vikings get to 9-2 in the year. They look very good in doing it. Sam Darnold had a nice game, especially in overtime. So, yeah, Minnesota looks good. What's up?
Shout out to TJ Hockenson. Justin Jefferson had two
catches. Big game for TJ Hockenson, yes.
And they just made up for it by Jordan Addison having 8 for 162. Hockenson had 7 for 114.
That's kind of been their strategy for like the last like three games, where Justin Jefferson isn't going off because teams are kind of taking him away. And I think it at first,
so guys,
yeah, they do. And I think originally Darnold kind of felt like he had to force it to Justin Jefferson, but now he's saying, yeah, okay, I'll just throw it to Jordan Addison, or I'll throw it to Jalen Naylor, I'll throw it to TJ Hockenson, and we'll just win games that way. Aaron Jones had a touchdown as well. So, yeah, overall, the offense is doing incredible, and obviously the defense is very good too. So, yeah, shout-out to Minnesota. Fun game yesterday in the 1 o'clock window against the Bears.
Another thing about the Bears real quick, Caleb Williams led the team in rushing.
Did he? Good for him.
He had 33 yards on 6 carries. DeAndre Swift had 30 yards on 13 carries.
Mm.
That is – the contract is aging like milk.
Oh, I mean, it's not the first time we've seen an Eagles running back go from Philadelphia to another team on big money and just disappear. Miles Sanders has done it with Carolina, and now we're seeing DeAndre Swift do it with the Bears. So, yeah, buyer beware giving a free agent middling Eagles running backs contracts that might be a little bit above their pay grade. We're kind of seeing that pay off right now for both Carolina and Chicago. All right. Since it's Thanksgiving week, JP and I are going to play a little game. So I do want to give credit. The Heed the Call boys, Dan Hinz's, Mark Sessler, Connor Ward did something like this a couple weeks ago where they built their dream Thanksgiving table of who they would invite. JP and I are going to do something similar, but we're going to have our own separate Thanksgivings, and we're going to draft who we can invite. So if JP invites somebody to his Thanksgiving, I cannot. We'll do 5 or 6 apiece. I don't know. We usually say 5, but then we have like 2 more rounds in the F4 anyway. So I will let you start. So who's coming? Who's going to be the first guest at JP Acosta's NFL Thanksgiving?
This was pretty easy. It's Amina Kimes.
Oh, that's a good shout. Yeah. Lovely.
That's the easiest pick. I think she's great hang, really smart, likes talking football, but also can talk about other things as well. So it doesn't feel like it's just football all the time, but it'd be really cool.
Okay, good shout. Getting an analyst off the bat right away. Okay, I like that. Go, Mina. All right. My strategy here is going to be so different from yours. So let's say like I'm in a pretty good place in life, and I'm feeling good about that. But, you know, there's times where, you know, you might not be. And when you're going through something like that, you don't want to be around people who are just, you know, really buttoned up and doing better than you. You want that crazy cousin there who's just like, all right, well, at least I'm not that guy. So I'm inviting George Pickens. He's going to be George Pickens is going to be at my Thanksgiving because at least like if I walk in and I'm just like, yeah, it's been, you know, a little bit rough at work. You know, I don't know how things are going to really go. George Pickens comes in. They're like, oh, Jesus. Well, I'm doing better than him. So, George Pickens.
Oh, no. Somebody is fighting at your Thanksgiving. Somebody is fighting. That is.
I have to be weary of who else is getting invited after inviting George.
Yeah, you cannot invite multiple people. You probably should not invite Greg Newsom.
Yeah, no, Greg Newsom is staying far away. Who is it? Jeremy Chin far, or is it Mike Sanders still? Whoever he fought against Washington, yeah. He's far away. We're keeping Mike Sanders still at arm's length from my Thanksgiving. So, yeah.
That's a funny pick.
Yeah. That's
hilarious. Let's see. Who's my second pick? Oh, anywhere in the NFL world.
Yeah.
Oh, easy. Andy Reid, baby.
That's a good yep.
I know a man who knows his way around the kitchen. I've seen Charles McDonald got Andy Reid's mac and cheese recipe, and it looks incredible. Sounds incredible. I want him to bring that to my Thanksgiving. Easy pick.
I love that. All right. Who do I want at my Thanksgiving? Again, we might have to have separate tables and separate rooms here with George Pickens coming in. I feel like I should have done a big board. I'm going to take... Oh, I think somebody who, you know, sticking with the media side of it. I think somebody who has just a lot of fun and is really goofy and will just bring a lot of like A, good stories because he's been around for a long time and he comes from a football family. And B, I feel like he's just a great hang and very fun. I'm going to invite Rex Ryan.
Ooh, you don't let him see your feet.
I know. No, this is a socks on household on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, gotta wear socks on Thanksgiving. But that's a good thing. That's a good pick. He also knows his way around a defense.
Absolutely. And I know that Rex is going to know. I mean, maybe Rob will stop by as well. You know, he's like, hey, I'm over at Jared's if you want to like come in and get some pie. And then maybe we'll get some Rex and Rob Ryan stories. Yeah, I'm definitely down for that. So, yeah, I'll have Rex at my Thanksgiving.
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I'm going to kind of go off of your idea with Rex Ryan. This is kind of cheating because he did coach in the NFL. He coached the NFL for a long time. I'm going to go Nick Saban.
That counts. That's fine.
I just want to talk football with Nick Saban. That's really the biggest reason why I want Nick Saban to be at my Thanksgiving. I would just love to sit and just talk ball with Nick Saban. If Nick Saban is listening to this, hit me up. I just want to chat, you know. I just want to pick your brain about defenses and how you played them, kind of structures. I would just love to have that. We can do it over some pie. We can break bread, you know. But that's the easy fit for me.
That's good. I like that. That's fun. You know what? Sticking with my whole like party vibe, I'm gonna want to talk about other things besides football and my thing. And there's a man who comes from my area. We have a lot of mutual interest and whatnot. So I'm gonna invite Pat McAfee. Yeah, talking about football and wrestling, two of the things that I love very, very much. That'd be a lot of fun. It's always going to be a good time when McAfee's around. We'll see if what conversations he and George Pickens have. That would be exciting to see. So I'll have Pat McAfee come to mind.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick to bring the energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
My fourth pick here, I'm going to go with a current player.
Okay.
Need someone who can kind of bring the energy, bring some fun. We're going to be dancing around. It's a celebration, you know? And for a celebration, I'm picking Cam Bynum.
Cam Bynum?
Minnesota
Vikings. Yes. Good pick.
By far has the greatest celebrations this season. The Usher glitch celebration is replaying in my head constantly. You know, it was either between him and another guy that I might get if he's available.
Okay.
But the Ray Gun celebration after interception against the Jaguars, insane. I want that kind of energy coming to my Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. How do I want to go with this now? Because I've got a coach, I've got a media guy, I've got a player. Oh, man. I really should have had a big board ahead of this, but I just kind of wanted to see where you went. Let me look at my helmets for inspiration. I got a Bronco back there. I got a Giant back there. I think it would be hilarious if one of us invited both Joe Shen and Saquon Barkley. That would be fun. That would be silly. I think I'm just kind of gonna keep going with the same route that I've been going. Oh man, you know what? I'm not gonna invite this guy. But if I really just wanted to lean into the whole chaos thing, I'd say Pac-Man Jones. I think that would be.
That is starting a war.
I think George Pickens and Pac-Man Jones would have some fun together.
Multiple elements you're adding.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. But you know what? I think that George is going to need somewhat of a babysitter. So I'm just going to take, hit the easy button here and invite Mike Tomlin. A, because Mike Tomlin's great, and anytime I've been in the same room listening to him talk, I've always just been like, God damn, this guy's just, I don't know how he does it so easily, but he always just knows what to say. And I mean, that's been, 18 years now of it as a Steelers fan and watching it from an analyst point of view. Just the stories that he has too. Like, tell me all about that 2008 defense and how insane it was having like Troy Polamalu and Casey Hampton and Larry Foote, just all of these like dudes that were really, really awesome in different ways. Tell me about that. Tell me about the teams I watched growing up. So yeah, I'll have Mike Tomlin at my Thanksgiving.
So this last pick, I'm really struggling. I don't know if I want to pick this guy or not. Nah, I don't know if I can do it. But because he's still on the board, I need another person for celebrations.
Okay.
Give me Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That's a good shout.
That was the guy I was going to pick instead of Cam Bynum, but I figured I can just get both of them.
Yeah.
Amon-Ra St. Brown just brings the energy. He is I'm not going to say he's the leader of the Lions offense, but he brings so much juice and excitement to that offense and so much energy. And plus the celebrations behind Cam Bynum are some of the best in the NFL. The headstand one he did against the Packers was so stupid. it's hilarious. He's always been really good with the celebrations. And I think he just brings good energy. So I'm picking Amon-Ra St. Brown.
The next guy I'm going to invite is, like, I just got to know, like, how do you continually just get this wrong? Like, you're wasting a lot of money. Also, why does your hair look like that? I'm going to invite Mark Davis. Again, this comes back to, like, all right, I'm not doing great right now. In the situation that it would be, like I said, I'm doing fine. But, like, if there's a situation at Thanksgiving, I'm like, oh, man, you know, this is rough. Oh, well, at least I'm not giving money to John Gruden and Josh McDaniels and probably Antonio Pierce after the season did not work for me anymore. So, yeah, I think that having both George Pickens and Mark Davis there for different reasons completely benefit me. And that's the strategy I'm going to play, is having Mark Davis over.
That's a really good one. You know, he might invite Shador too.
He might. Do you think he's going to be a Raider? Is that the thing?
Yes. There's far too many connections between. I think Shador went with Mark Davis to a basketball game earlier this season.
Oh, okay.
Shador very openly talked about how much Tom Brady was an influence on him, and kind of being able to get some pointers from Tom Brady. I just think there are far too many, like, connections there for it to not be a thing. Gotcha. Especially when you're starting Aiden O'Connell and Desmond Ridder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not great. Not great at all. But yes, Mark Davis. Him and Rex can talk about stuff. And Mike T. I would love to see him and George Pickens have an interaction. That would be lovely. So Mark Davis will be at my Thanksgiving.
That's a good one.
I think we're just gonna keep going for a while. Each of us have okay.
I got another one.
Okay.
So every Thanksgiving needs somebody who's gonna say a prayer.
Okay.
It needs.
Oh no! God damn it, JP.
There's somebody who needs to talk to the Lord. I'm going to go with Coach Prime in this situation.
I thought you were going to pick somebody else.
And you thought I was going to pick Jameis Winston.
I absolutely thought you were going to pick Jameis Winston.
I thought about it, but decided not to.
That was the swerve of the century.
We're going Coach Prime, baby.
Okay.
I would love to pick his brain, talk to him about Colorado football, making the jump from Jackson State, kind of things that he's seen and things that he's learned while coaching there, coaching his sons to success at the college level, and just kind of being there for them. So I would love to invite Coach Prime to Thanksgiving. Plus, he's going to have to say the prayer. So
okay. That's good. Who else do I want to invite? I feel like I've got, like, too many, like, current people. I want to, like, have, like, a throwback in there somewhere. I already said this guy's name. I'm not going to invite him, but it would be funny to have John Gruden and Mark Davis in the same room for Thanksgiving. I think that'd be pretty silly. Lord. I think that this would be kind of fun. We'll take that guy, put him over here for now. Just keep it all separated. I will invite God damn it. I'm trying to think of somebody who would be really fun. You know what? Okay, this guy, this might be a random shout, but was very fun in interviews and had several alter egos as part of it and was very fun. So I'm going to invite Clinton Portis to my Thanksgiving.
Oh,
Clinton Portis. Oh, dude, one of the best running backs of the 2000s, and he's absolutely hysterical when it comes to the interview side of things. So, yeah, big Clinton Portis guy growing up. He's funny. So, yeah, give me Clinton Portis. You can come to my Thanksgiving.
That's a good one. My next pick, I'm going back into the coaches that I just want to talk ball with.
Okay.
Bill Belichick, come on down.
Oh, I'm surprised it took this long for one of us to pick Belichick. Actually, that's a good shout.
A fireside chat with Andy Reid, Nick Saban, and Bill Belichick
might
just be like my fever dream.
That's good.
Like, on one hand, it might be a nightmare blunt rotation. but it also would just be an incredible rotation of just talking ball. So I would love Bill Belichick.
No, that's really good. I like that a lot. Yeah, yours is good. Yours is very, very good. Damn it. All right. We both have coaches. We both went in completely different directions. I picked Rex Ryan. And just give me all the good coaches.
I'll take all the good coaches.
Yeah, no, I'll take. I mean, I got Mike Tomlin in there, but I'm just going chaos at this point, having Mark Davis and Rex Ryan as part of mine. I will take. Looking around here. Who do I want to come? Oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, this is fun. Give me, again, just somebody who is going to make me look great. So give me Hugh Jackson.
Jesus.
Hey, how's it going? What are you even up to anymore, man?
Oh, my. He just got fired from Grambling.
Did he?
Not this year, but I think last year.
He was their head coach?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't good at it.
Clearly.
He is the current assistant GM at Georgia State. He previously was the head coach of Grambling from 2022 to 2023. They also were not very good at football.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. That's yeah. Yeah, Hugh Jackson. Again, just continuing. All right, I'm doing better than all of these guys. That's my current strategy.
Well, I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to pick a guy that I think brings a lot of energy, brings some good vibes, good people to hang around. Give me Nate Burleson.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that.
Bring some positive energy, bring some fun to the room, some more fun.
And you know what? I'm going to stick with the CBS crew. I'm going to invite Bill Cowher.
Ooh, that's a good one. Just get all the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just
give me. I mean, as a Steelers guy, of course. But yeah, having Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin in the same room, that would be a lot of like really fun stories. Mike Tomlin and Rex Ryan played against each other in an AFC Championship game. So yeah, there's a lot of connective tissue there. I think that would be fun.
I think my next one, I'm going to go with another coach. I'm just picking up coaches that I thought were great when I was growing up. Give me Pete Carroll.
I was going to pick Pete. That's a good shout. Yep.
I love Pete Carroll, man. He's just a ball coach. He's great. Everybody has said so many positive words about him. I think that's awesome. So I'm going to go Pete Carroll.
That's good. All right. I'm going to go with, I'm going to take a quarterback here. And I am going to take, Justin Herbert. And my next pick, you're going to know why I picked Justin Herbert, because I think it'd be very fun. But okay, trust me.
I'll speed through my pick then, because this one's easy. Marshawn Lynch, come on down.
Oh, yeah, good shout. Yep.
We got to have the Bay in here.
All right, so I picked Justin Herbert because I'm also going to invite Emmanuel Acho.
Oh, God. What is hold on. You are building the most contentious Thanksgiving ever.
Oh man, it's gonna be great.
The complete opposite of what Thanksgiving means.
Everybody who's like completely the opposite of thankful that the others in the room exist. I'm just gonna put them in a room. It's gonna be awesome.
Well, for mine, we need somebody. You know, there's gonna be a little bit of pushing and bumping to get some plates, get some food. We need somebody who's gonna be a little bit of an enforcer. Nobody's gonna move. You know, we have an order around here. James Harris, welcome to Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Nobody moving past Debo, man. you better not try it.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's good. All right. I'm going to go with a Hall of Fame defender who is one of the best NFL sound bites of all time. Give me John Randall. To kind of be my version of James Harrison in the room. It's going to be like, all right, yeah, nobody fuck with John. He says he's first in line, so we're just going to let him be first in line.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, as much as I hate it, I do have to invite a quarterback.
Okay.
And this one's going to be a guy that, despite playing against my favorite team and ruining my life for many, many years, I've always enjoyed how he plays. I enjoy how he manages the game. I enjoy how he approaches it from a football perspective. And I think the conversation he would have with other guys would be really cool. Peyton Manning.
Yep. Good shot.
Just, I would just love the conversations between he and Bill. I'm building like my fever dream of like football conversation right
now. Yeah, like I said, you and I have taken a completely opposite direction of this. I'm just going with dudes who are like, all right, this is going to be pure chaos and I would love to watch it unfold. You're going with like legit, like, tell me about football. I think I prefer your strategy in terms of like who I'd want to see. I'm just going for this is hilarious and this would be very fun for me. Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that.
Both ways.
I like that. All right. So Peyton's a good shout. I'm going to go with, I mean, obviously I would love that just because it's, you know, he's my favorite. I might as well invite Josh Allen. He'll be my comfort through all this chaos. And be like, oh man, did you see what George just did to Mark Davis? I can't deal with this anymore, Josh. How are you? How's Haley Steinfeld doing? Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to pick my favorite football player of all time. I have to. Maurice Jones-Drew.
It's a good shout.
Thanksgiving. He is the reason I wore 32 growing up. He is my favorite Jacksonville Jaguar ever. My favorite NFL player ever. Like, I got to invite him to Thanksgiving.
That's good. I'm going to invite... Who would be good? Who else would be good to have here? You know, you got Peyton. I will take Eli. I think Eli would be a fun little Eli is sneaky hysterical. Why are you laughing so hard? Oh,
about this room that you have put in and Eli just sitting in the corner, like, what is happening right now?
The guy who's like, what the fuck? Where am I? Imagine the conversations that Eli and George Pickens would have. I think that would be fun.
Oh my God. They'd be two completely different.
Here's the thing. I think that Eli is so in tune enough, like with chaotic situations playing in New York for so long. And he's also just like a calming presence. I think that he would be George Pickens' like safety valve. Like if George is like, I'm going to go crazy, Eli, talk me down from the ledge. I think that this could work. I think having Eli and Mike Tomlin there to like calm George down is going to keep Thanksgiving on track. So this is more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? This is more of a just, all right, keep George calm. This is a smart play by me just to keep everything in line.
Like a balance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need somebody there to be the, I need human stress balls here. And I think that Eli and Josh Allen, too, I think would be just human stress balls and be like, all right, we'll keep this thing under wraps. We're going to be okay.
Well, with mine, I'm going to turn up the the fire a little bit because, you know, after Thanksgiving, you little stuff, you got to go, work it off. Work off some of the, all the food that you ate. Aaron Donald.
That's a good shout.
After Thanksgiving, we are hitting the gym. Right. and we will be bench pressing gravity.
Oh, that's funny. I like that. That's fun. For mine, I will be going with... Trying to see the balance that I have of like player and owner. I don't think, do I have it? I have one owner. I got Mark Davis. I will go with, oh yeah, this would be funny. Again, just to add to the, you might as well just really lean into it at this point. I'll invite Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Phillip Rivers.
Oh, that would have been good. If he's still on the board, he can come. That's good. Now, I think that, Aaron's got a lot of stories, but again, just lean into the chaos of it. This is going to be the most chaotic Thanksgiving of all time. Oh, I want to hear Aaron Rodgers' stories.
I don't know if I want to hear those stories.
I want to hear them all.
He's going to start talking about the things he saw in that darkness retreat.
And I can't wait to hear about it.
Fun's over. They ain't no more food. Y'all got to go. It's time to go.
I'm trying to think of the funniest interaction Aaron Rodgers could have with this. I mean, it all falls back on George, but Pat McAfee's also there. So if anything, him and Pat could just be, you know, talking on their own. Maybe AJ Hawk will stop in.
I'm just going for some cool people I'd want to talk ball with. Luke Kuechly.
That's a good shout.
Going Luke Kuechly. I just want to talk ball, you know.
I do love Luke Kuechly. That's a great pick. I feel like I need to maybe get some cool ball players, but again, I'm going with just comfort and chaos at this point. We're leading all the way in. I'm going to take. Oh, don't know why this guy cracks me up so much. Mostly because it just looks like he's tasted human flesh. I'm gonna take Jason Garrett. Every time I see him on Football Night in America, I'm like, I feel like he's killed people.
he just looks so disinterested. Yeah. I'm gonna stick with the Football Night in America crew. I'm gonna go Maria Taylor.
Yeah, Maria Taylor rules.
Seems really fun. Seems awesome to hang out with.
Oh, okay. You know what? Sticking with Sunday Night Football, I'm going to invite Mike Tirico. I think that he rules. And the
Italian.
I love Mike Tirico. And the fact that he's calling games right now with a torn Achilles, what a damn trooper. I think he's one of the most... questions. Okay.
How did you tear your Achilles?
Yeah, dude. I don't know what he's doing.
Achilles.
I have no idea what he's doing. I don't know how old Mike Tirico is. I'm assuming mid-50s, early 60s, perhaps. What he's doing to tear his Achilles is a question I do not know the answer to. But I think in terms of the overall hierarchy of play-by-play guys, I think he's one of the most underrated of all time, but also one of the best. So, yeah, give me Tirico.
Mike Tirico's 57. He might just be old. Okay. That just
happened. Okay, yeah, shit happens. It's fine. There's a, I think this is well-known information, so I'm not breaking any news, but Mark Caballi on the Steelers beat, shout out Caballi, tore his Achilles just walking at SoFi. So, you know, sometimes things just happen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that is a real thing that happened.
That is nuts.
Yeah. God love Caballi. But yeah, it's a well-known thing that just happened. They were playing, it was last year because the Steelers were playing the Rams in SoFi. And yeah, just went down for the count.
That's crazy.
Towards Achilles. It happened.
I'm gonna go with one of my good friends in media with this one. I'm gonna go Taylor Kyles.
Oh, dude, I love Taylor. He's the best.
Such a fun dude to talk ball with. We talk about Marvel a lot. I feel like he'd be a good balance, you know.
Man, all right. If we're doing friends now, I think that having Mike Tenier at my Thanksgiving with all of this chaos.
That is such a perfect pick.
Tenier's, he's just going to like look over at me and be like, I just heard Aaron fucking Rodgers talking with Pat McAfee about darkness retreats. I just want to get the fuck out of here. I'm like, all right. Thanks for coming, Mike.
Like, all right, man. Word.
So, yeah, Tenier's going to come to mind.
Another guy that I just think is cool and one of my favorite players to watch, even though he just killed my favorite team. Dwight Freeney.
Yeah.
He is a player that I emulated growing up playing defensive line. Spin move is lethal. And again, I just want to hear Dwight Freeney, Peyton Manning, Bill Belichick talk football, and Andy Reid. I just want to hear them talk about the chess matches and battles with each other.
I love that. I'm going to go with another Hall of Fame shit talker, but also an incredible player. Give me Steve Smith.
Oh, yo. Oh my goodness. You are assembling like the Avengers of negativity.
Yeah, this is going to be the Thanksgiving of smoke. Everybody's just going to want it. It's going to be awesome.
It might end up in a fight, but you know, like I'll let you borrow James Harrison if you really
want. All right. That's good. No, but like growing up, man, Steve Smith was just such a badass. He's an undersized dude who just, oh, he's awesome. I love Steve Smith. So, and but again, guy with who might have been like insane on the field, but I bet he's got a hell of a lot of good stories.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My next pick. Got to think about another guy who somebody I'd want to talk football with. Somebody I've actually talked to, a member of his family. I've talked with him for a story that I almost did when I was working at FAU, when I was writing at FAU. Never got it off the ground, but I think he'd just be another guy I'd want to talk ball with. Jim Harbaugh.
Lovely pick.
I think Jim Harbaugh would be a, like, he'd bring some weirdness. But
yeah,
I like
you need weirdness, though.
Like we need kind of some of that fun.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the well of inviting our media friends. And I cannot think of somebody better and more funny to have in this group than our mutual friend and one of the very best in the world, I will invite Aaron Schatz to my Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I think that would be great. It would be awesome.
My next pick is currently running Prime Vision for Thursday Night Football. Sam Schwartzstein.
Shout out Sam.
Yeah, we another cool good friend of mine talk football, talk about anime. Can also I know my next pick. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Do I want to keep this going to the well? I think at some point you're gonna need just a bunch of homies there. So I'll hold off and maybe some friends for now, because I think I'll still be able to invite them in the intermediate. So I'll go with I need somebody like quirky, or maybe just on another analyst side of it. Oh, no. I know who I'm inviting. Jim Nantz is coming to my Thanksgiving.
Okay. That's a good one. Real professional.
Yeah, we're going to, and for the love of God, does this Thanksgiving need some of that?
Just need someone buttoned up a little bit.
I think that Jim Nantz is going to sit at the head of the table at my Thanksgiving. He's absolutely, you know, just it's the NFL feels like story time with Jim Nantz. So he's going to be like the granddad at the head of the table. Just it's going to be good. So Jim Nantz, welcome to the Jared Bailey Thanksgiving table.
I'm continuing the trend of players in the division who rip my favorite team's heart out, rip my heart out. But a player I'm always going to have an admiration for, Andrew Luck, is coming to my Thanksgiving.
Oh, that is such a good pick.
I love Andrew Luck, man. Like he was like the quarterback, you know, like that's the guy everybody wanted to be.
I'm trying to think. There's somebody that Andrew Luck reminds me of, and I cannot put my finger on it. I feel like it's like a wrestler, and I just can't figure out who it is. And it's gonna really scratch my brain until I figure it out. But when I do, you're going to get just a text in all caps from me. Be like, that's who it is. All right. So I got Nantz and Tirico. Ah, I'm going to keep going with the play-by-play guys. I'm going to go with the energy. Give me Kevin Harlan.
Oh, that was going to be my next pick. I love Kevin Harlan, man. He is one of my favorite play-by-play guys in any sport right now. He just brings energy. And I like energy when watching a football game.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go with a guy who played in the NFL, but is now doing something different. Titus O'Neil is coming.
Bro!
I just love the vibes. He might be a Florida alum, but he brings good vibes. I think he's a great dude, and I think he'd really kind of bring some aspirational ideas.
Titus O'Neil is not a name I expected in this whole thing. That is hysterical. Oh. Shout out Titus O'Neil. That's hilarious. I'm going to go with. I could go back to the well of friends. I've got Tanir, I've got Schatz. You got Mina, you got Taylor Kyles, you got Sam Schwartzstein, Maria Taylor. All right, so we've got both have a nice collection of media people here. Oh, dude. Yeah, this is funny. He doesn't, I don't believe he does commentary anymore, but he did it like two or three times, and it was the most insane thing I've ever heard. Give me Aqib Talib.
Oh, no! That is, your Thanksgiving's ending in a fight. I'm going to let you know that right now.
Yeah, this is incredible. All right, let's do one more round, and then we'll wrap up, and then.
Okay, well, for my final pick, I'm gonna do a group pick because I can't separate them.
Okay.
My final pick is the good people at Sorry No Podcast today.
Oh, that's nice.
I gotta pick my friends. You know, we do great work. I think they'd be an incredible add to this Thanksgiving crew, and then we'd just be able to talk shit. You know. We'd be able to shoot the shit.
I like that. You know what? I'm going to echo that. I'll go with my longest friend, one of my closest friends in this, who I've done countless shows with and who's really stuck by me and really elevated me. So I'll invite my buddy Matt Verderim from Sports Illustrated. Love that dude to death. And he is the type of guy, like every time that we're together at a like Senior Bowl or Combine, there's just a point where he just gets over this shit. He's like, I'm so fucking over this. And it cracks me up every time. And I think that there's going to be an interaction that he would have with somebody.
Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron Rodgers.
Like, let's not mince words here. It would be Aaron Rodgers.
It would be Aaron. He's just going to come over and be like, why'd you invite Aaron fucking Rodgers to Thanksgiving? I was like, yeah, he doesn't have another. Where else is he going to go, Matt? Like, come on. I just wanted to be nice. So yeah, Verde Ram could come to my Thanksgiving. Man, putting the graphics together for these is going to be a hell of a task, but it's going to be fun. Yeah, dude, that was better than I could have anticipated.
That's fine.
Yeah. What have you got coming for everybody to go read, listen to, etc.?
Well, all, as always, you can find Establish the Fun Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving. Make sure you read it. It'll be somewhat of a primer for this week's Thanksgiving games. Last week, I wrote about the Miami Dolphins, who are actually playing really good football right now, so you might want to check that out. Might have something pretty fun on Josh Jacobs. We'll do some more fun stuff regarding some of the other Thanksgiving games. I'll have a Thanksgiving guide for you. Hint, hint, go do something else during Cowboys-Giants. But make sure to follow at Acosta32_JP on Twitter, at Acosta32JP on Blue Sky. See what I'm doing? See where I'm going?
I have not made the jump to Blue Sky. I think I have an actual account, but it's not on my phone. I'm doing two. I've got Twitter and Threads. I think that's the number I'm going to stick with right now. If Twitter absolutely dies, then perhaps I'll make the jump. But for now, I'm on those two. So follow everything going on for me at Sporting News. I just did a piece on the Texans in terms of why I think that they're just kind of, I'm sticking a fork in them. So go read that on Sporting News. Follow me on Twitter at JBaileyNFL. Follow me on Threads at RealJarrettBailey. Subscribe to the channel if you're watching this on YouTube. Leave a review if you're listening to it as a podcast. Have a great Thanksgiving. And we'll be back later on in the week to preview everything else going on for week 13. We'll see you then. This is the Pump Pick. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.